icing on top of the cake. Amen. Are you weak and heavy laden? Amen. Living in a world of care, Jesus Christ is still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometime in the early part of the service, because I study to show myself approved, like the Bible says, a workman need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. In order to do that, I pray that the Spirit of truth will come and guide us into all truth. The Bible said when he, the Spirit of truth, a lot of Pentecostals, I think, are easily deceived sometimes because we just see him as the power giver that manifests to us and through us. We don't see him in his very important ministry of disseminating the truth to us, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Because the devil will use scripture that is out of context to try to trick us. God will deliver us from his deceptions with truth. Amen. So he's here today, and I pray the Holy Spirit will help me minister in a little while, but right now we're going to minister to the Lord. I'm going to ask the blessing on this by asking Brother Taylor to bless the service.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for your great love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you for your peace, that peace that passes all understanding. Let it rule and reign in our hearts and in our minds. Thank you for your mercies are renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Lord, we honor you. We magnify your name. We look up to thee, Lord God, from which cometh our help. Move in the service today. Have your way, Lord. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. You said in your word, if you love me, keep my commandments. Lord, help us to keep your commandments, and your commandments are not grievous. Have your way in us, Lord. Yes. God, help us to praise, honor, and magnify your name. Bless each person this year. Not only here, Lord, I pray for all the true churches all over the world where your people are gathered together in your name to worship you in spirit and in truth, where the gospel is being preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, Lord. Feed your lamb, feed your sheep, Lord God. Help us to hear your word and to obey. Thank you for meeting every need that's present in the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Let's worship the King today, our King today.
Hallelujah.
King of glory, fill this place. We're not just talking about this room. This room is filling up. I've been praying for a building. As small as we are, we have a big vision because we have a big God and there's a big job to be done. We are told in Scripture as Christians and Christian leaders to raise our eyes, look upon the fields, for they are ready unto harvest. That means they are white unto harvest, and it means that if they are not harvested, they will become overripe. And if they become overripe, then they're lost. You lose the harvest. We're in danger of losing the harvest if we don't reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're so happy to be part of that great company around the world that is telling people about Jesus today. There's a lot of tangents we could get off in, but the vision is clear, it's precise, and I believe that's the Father's business today, is that field and those souls that he wants to save. He's not willing. I love this great scripture. It said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. I'm so glad he wills to save every person on this planet. So when we pray according to his will and we act on his will, we have his blessing automatically today. Amen. We're glad you're here today, and visitors, we're glad that you're here today. We give you a warm welcome, and we're glad we have a space problem in the building, but that's going to change. So I've been praying for years, and sometimes I'm driving, I watch and pray, because a lot of traffic and a lot of crazy things going on out there. I've got a car in the shop right now that's got a boo-boo. Did you ever have a car with a boo-boo that got hit? I got one of those getting repaired. And so I watch and pray. But every time I go by a possible building that looks like it would be a wonderful place that we could gather and have lots of room and have a 100-inch television. so you can all see the lyrics to the songs. What I do, I said, Lord, you said to ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. In the Greek, it's in the continual sense. It's knock and keep on knocking. It's ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking. So when I go by, I don't have time to stop, pull off the road and pray. I knock on my dashboard. Me and the Lord know exactly what I'm seeking, what I'm knocking about. Praise God. Amen. I've been knocking a lot lately. I may have to put me a cover on my dashboard after a while. Amen. But the Lord is good. We don't need a building for any other reason than people coming together to share a vision to reach other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Glad you're here today. Let's worship Him a little bit more this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You can be seated this morning for a little while. Praise the Lord. Turn around and look at somebody and say, we're in the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. Amen. You know why that's true? And if I don't find my glasses, we'll have a short service. I found them. Everybody's going to clap for the short service, and now it's kind of, we'll have to build it back up again. Praise God. Hallelujah. I might be able to do this without my glasses till we get to the fine print. Why is it the right place at the right time? Where two or more of you are gathered in my name, in His name. Now, if you've come here in the name of a prestigious denomination, that organization is good and people can work together. I don't particularly like walls that denominations create between believers, but I don't particularly like unwalled denominations where there's no standard that is held before God's people. There are things that we can be pragmatic about. We can give up something to get something in order to have fellowship. There's things that we cannot be pragmatic about, and that is the way to salvation. The way to salvation is exclusive to Christ. I heard a talk show, I don't know, one of the older ones. I'm from way back. Me and Brother Taylor go way back, so it's hard to even remember the name of some of the hosts. But they were asking a preacher about Jesus claiming to be the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to God, the only way to salvation, the only mediator between God and man. And the question was asked, don't you think that's awfully arrogant of him to claim to be the only way to God? And I thought he was going to give some bunch of scriptures or big theological dissertation, and he said, not if it's true. It's not arrogant if it's true. If it isn't true, it would be arrogant. But if it's true, then we need to take it very seriously. That means he was a liar on a cosmic level if it's not true. We shouldn't pay any attention to it. But the fact that God raised him from the dead gives him some credibility. Buddha is dead. His ashes, and this is not despairing, I'm just telling you, he's not around. His ashes were put into the Ganges River. And against the law, actually, some people who wanted a crop years ago, they would throw a live child into the Ganges River, sacrificing that child to have a crop in a place where starvation is all over the place. That's terrible. They go to Mecca to view where the body is supposed to be of Muhammad. There's pilgrimages to go. The pilgrimages to Israel is not to go find where Jesus is buried. It's to go see what they believe to be the tomb wherein he was raised on the third day. He was resurrected. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not an afterthought in the Bible. It's a key scripture. It's a cardinal truth. Without it, the whole faith crumbles. But God verified that he was the Son of God by raising him from the dead and confirmed him. Amen. So I'm glad I serve a living God today. I was dying of cancer when I was around 7, going on 8. And they took me to Dr. Paul Minthorn. He's long gone now, of course. And he gave me probably 6 to 8 months to live. So I wasn't supposed to see my 8th and going into 9th birthday. My parents said, no, we won't have that. I was the only child. So they took me to church. I'd already been to the doctor. The doctor said, keep him comfortable. Just keep him, you know, give him anything he wants to eat. I was going on 8 years old. I heard the word candy. He said, give him candy. It'll keep his energy level up. And I thought, wow, this is great. I had no idea I was dying. I knew I was sick. I knew that I couldn't have any energy when I got home from school. I know that my skin was beginning to yellow. I was becoming jaundiced because my liver was being affected by the leukemia. They didn't have any treatments. We didn't have any insurance anyway. There was no bone marrow transplants to try, nothing to do much. I heard him tell my parents, we will get him admitted to the county hospital when it gets in the last stages, which wouldn't be very long. So they took me to church. My dad was a firm believer. My mother was, you know, might be, might not be, but she was desperate, so she went with him and went with us. And we had an evangelist speaking, and he began to pray for people, invite people to come forward and have hands laid on, anoint them with oil, James 5:14. It's just as valid as John 3:16, believe it or not. It's the inspired word of the living God. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's a God thing. It's not, nobody has a corner on that. Hallelujah. We just embrace it more, maybe. But that's, they took me to that meeting, and my mother, desperate to see her son not die because I had the death sentence hanging over me. When it came time, they had a prayer line. Pastor of the church, Brother Joe Woodward, was pastor down here in Tampa. It had service, by the way, 7 days a week. So if you think I'm, you know, I won't even... 7 days a week, church? Well, when you get miracles happening in church, it kind of holds people's attention a little better than just going over something and rehashing something every Sunday. It changes things when God shows up. It really changes things when God shows out. Amen. When God does what only God can do. So my mother got me by the hand, amen, and got us in line. First time I'd ever experienced the presence of God, the real manifest presence of God. And my feet started tingling. Well, now you're a little boy, you're scared, you're standing up there with all those people, you know, you can explain all of that away, and I guess there's an explanation, amen. But that wasn't what was happening, because I felt a sense that something holy was occurring. Now, I don't know how to explain that. How does an 8-year-old, theologically going on 8-year-old, explain holy presence of God? The old-timers used to say it this way: it's better felt than telt. In other words, until you experience it, you can't really begin to understand it, nor can you really explain it to somebody else. You have to experience the presence of God. But the Bible said when two or more of His children gather together, He says, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. And then He talks about what He wants to do in the midst of us. If two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be given them of my Father which is in heaven. Now the devil hates that verse of scripture, because when we come together, He's in the midst of us. And when we pray together in unity, He is going to manifest Himself in answered prayer. And that's what was about to happen in that church in Tampa. God was going to manifest Himself to heal a little boy that wasn't going to live out his life at all, was given up to die. But as I got closer to where they were praying, and these were just everyday people praying with an evangelist that came, there was no big shot or little shot. This is Christians gathering together like we're gathered in this room today. And He was laying hands on people and praying for them. as we got closer, I felt that tingling come up my legs. Now, I've performed so many weddings in over 50 years of ministry. I have seen best men, big best men, like this guy, amen, and that guy, strong, but they're standing up rigid, and there's pressure during the wedding on you anyway, stress, and you lock your legs, and you're standing rigid, and the circulation is being cut off to the brain without realizing it. And I've in one wedding, a big fancy wedding, it was one of those that everybody was dressed up, you know, with special everything. And this big guy standing there, he just plopped over. Just plopped over, fainted dead away. That's can happen in the natural. But when the supernatural kicks in and someone plops over because they're overwhelmed by the presence of God, we say, what's going on here? What's happening here? The closer I got, the more I sensed the presence of God. I never forgot it. It wasn't just the miracle of healing that was about to occur. My mother took me the next step. We were right in front of where they were praying, and they reached out to lay hands on me. And my mother said, please pray for my son. He has Lou. She got the Lou of leukemia out. And the minister said, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, heal this young man of cancer of the blood. Now, this guy wasn't a physician. He wasn't highly educated, but he was highly anointed. You didn't hear me. He deserves a better amen. I said he wasn't highly educated, but he was highly anointed. Now, my doctor was highly educated. He was going to have a real problem with this. People, men of science, people of that level of intellectual thought have a problem with the supernatural. Amen. But people that are anointed don't have any problem with it at all. It's fully expected that God is in our midst. Does that make a difference? That Christ is in this room instead of sitting aloof somewhere up in the cosmos? You mean he's here? Yeah. Yeah. I could have announced it. Well, we could have got more people come. We're going to have a special guest here today. Amen. He's from outer space. Amen. He's going to be here today, and he's got some things to tell us that the even the news media hasn't heard yet. You need to show up. He's from outer space. He's here today. He was in that church. He was on that platform. He was out in amongst the pews. God's presence was there because believers were gathered together in his name, not in the name of the denomination or some. I think Freddie Gray was the name of the evangelist, but he was from Texas somewhere, and he's just a good old country boy. We got any good old boys in here? It's okay to be a good. I'm one. I'm from Kentucky. I got a rate. Any other good old boy? Kentucky? You good old boy. Amen. He loves it when I call him boy. I've been our age. Amen. Did you raise your hand? You didn't. Okay. You're all right. You're just a good boy, not a good old boy. Okay. Well, you deserve a fist bump for just being a good boy. Hallelujah. I'm glad I wasn't in some churches, because I would have, you know, you know what they sang at my funeral? When the child has died and there's no hope and no help and the mother is crying. I've heard this song, gathering flowers for the master's bouquet. Now, isn't that sweet and sentimental? Your child is dead, but God's just gathering some flowers. Needs a few more flowers for the master's bouquet, so he's going to let a few more children pass away, and there's no hope and no help. Listen, God showing up has got to be more than sentimental feelings on Sunday morning. If the Lord is in the midst and he's here when we come together to hear our cry, to answer prayer, there's got to be more going on than what we're religiously accustomed to. friend of mine at work. I was bivocational for 12 years, and I've been in ministry for over 50 years. I think 53 in January. That's a long time to be preaching. Seen a lot. Seen God move. Seen people helped. And I've seen situations where people turned away and they just give up on God. But I want to encourage you today. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and He will be forever. He's not a lesser Jesus. He is the same Jesus. The Jesus that walked the shores of the Sea of Galilee is in the midst of His people when we come together today. We should have a holy anticipation and expectation, amen, when we come together. That expectant level should rise. You wrote a good dissertation on hope, an explanation of hope, amen. And you asked the question, because I read it, what comes first, faith or hope? And you put hope in the forefront. And I appreciate that both of you did it. You conspired together because they're one in the Lord. Amen. I like that. My mother suddenly had hope when she heard what God was doing for other people, what He has done for other people. And so she grabbed a hold of hope. And when we got closer and closer and closer, amen, I could feel more of the presence of God. My mother didn't feel anything. She was hardly in church ever. But she had to grab hold of something because the doctor couldn't give her anything. I'm glad that God showed up. I worked with a man that his wife got some kind of disease of her blood, and they couldn't find what was happening, but she was getting progressively worse and worse and worse. He said, Rev, that's what they call me at work. He said, I'm a believer. I have great faith in prayer and faith in God. He said, so I went to pray for my wife after I read the scriptures. I talked to the Lord at home, and He said, I'm going to the hospital, and I believe that You are going to hear my prayer, and You're going to help my wife, because they have given up. And the family was brought in, and people were preparing, really, for her demise and her death. He said, I'm going to stand in the gap for her. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to believe You. So he walked in the room, and everybody was just, you know, just down as far as you can get when hope is fleeting and hope is gone. And he took hold of hope. But he said something to them. He wasn't trying to be mean to them, but he said, you know what I'd like? He said, I would like to have some personal time to pray with my wife. I'd like all of you folks to wait in the hall for about 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes. That's biblical. Jairus' daughter died, according to the scripture. And they come and told Jesus, Jairus' daughter is dead. And so he went to where she was laying, and he looked around, and he said, she only sleepeth. In other words, I don't accept the finality of death. Because why? Because He's the resurrection and the life. Amen. Tomb of Lazarus, He said the same thing. I said, if you had been here, our brother, which was not in the Lord, their actual brother, would not have died. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in Me, he'll never die. Brother Vimble, you mean you're never going to die? That's right. I'll move out of this old bone bag one day. Everybody say bone bag. That's where your spirit lives. It's called your body. You're going to drop this bone bag one day, but you're going to be just fine. The Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is not to be nowhere. It's to be somewhere special. Look at somebody and say, somewhere special. Oh, you should see my grave plot. Oh, it's going to have two angels are going to be looking down, you know, and it's going to it's going to cost $5,000 for the tombstone. No, that's not the special place. When you are absent from the body, the Apostle Paul said, you are present with the Lord. He said, you know, I'm in a strait betwixt two, knowing what I know about that. Willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be with Christ. When that day comes, I'm not going to fight it. Amen. I'm not going to rush it, but I'm not going to fight it when it finally comes. Hallelujah. Because I know what's going to happen. The moment I take my last breath here, I'll take my next one in the presence of the Lord. That's the... Oh, you say, Brother Venable, you're preaching a funeral. No, I'm not. I'm preaching something you only hear at funerals, because you need to hear it at more than a funeral. Amen. So, I can't explain to you what it felt like when they just laid their hand on me. And this was not Oral Roberts, or this was not someone with a gift of healing that was known for effectiveness like that. This was just everyday people. When you come together in my name, amen, there am I in the midst of them. And if two or more of you on earth shall agree, as he asking anything of my Father. Agree means to be in harmony with one another, not just agreeing on the need. Amen. He said, the Father will give it to you. The Father will come through. God will move by his Spirit. So they laid hands on me. My mother said, pray for my son. He has Lou. She got the Lou out. I remember that. And then a word of knowledge, amen, a gift of the Holy Spirit, he laid hands on me and said, I rebuke the cancer in this young man's body in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought, I've never heard anybody talk to a disease like that. But he was talking to the disease in the name of Jesus Christ. And then prayer was offered over me. The Bible said, if there be any sick among you, James 5:14, let them call the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they've committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them. Amen. God is so wonderful. God is so powerful. I know I'm going to get to the point, because I know you are waiting to hear if I lived or died. And I know you're just sitting on the edge of your chair. And I know there are people here looking at me like a calf at a new gate. That always occurs when I'm talking about a God that is real, a God that is relevant, a God that you can love and that loves you, a God that hears when you pray, that actually bends down to listen when we pray, and comes down to answer. Praise God. So he prayed. And I just thought, my goodness, God must have healed me. He must have touched me. So the next day, I remember getting home from school. That was on a Sunday night. On Monday morning, I went to school. I came home. Normally, I just had enough strength to lay down on the couch and then get up, maybe go to school the next day. I had a dog named Poncho. He was a wiener dog. They call him, he was a dachshund. We called them dash hounds because we couldn't pronounce dachshund. Anybody hear them called dash hounds? Fist bump over here. I got somebody. Dash hound, dachshund, wiener dog. And his name was Poncho. And what we loved to do, when I got home from school every day, I'd chase him. And he'd go running like he's scared to death. And I'd chase him around our trailer. No, it was not a mobile home. It wasn't that large. And no, it was not a modular home. You know, amen. It was a trailer, okay? I'd chase him around the trailer, and then he'd stop and turn around and look at me, and I knew it's his turn to chase me. And then I go this way, and we're going. And that was so much fun. But he looked at me waiting for me to chase him, but I had no energy to chase him. He wanted to chase me, and I wouldn't run because I had no energy. I just had to go back inside and lay down on the couch. But that next day after prayer, I came home from school, and I thought, you know, the Lord must have touched me. He must have touched me. I don't feel tired. I don't feel tired. Poncho! Amen. He came running. We had a great afternoon of chasing each other back and forth. My mother come outside. She said, Bobby, you gotta calm down now. You don't want to use up too much energy. And I remember what I said to her. I'm up in years. I'm 78 years old. I'm not going to be 79 until January. I'm going to hold on to 78 as long as I can. Getting ready to have my last 70th. What's it feel like, brother?
Pretty good.
Okay. All right. Listen. My mother said, you better take it easy. And I said, but Mama, they prayed for me last night. And Mama, I'm not tired. And you know what she did? She let me play long as I wanted to. And me and Poncho had a great day. But the next day she got an appointment with Dr. Paul Menthorn, and she took me back to the doctor. She said, I want you to check him again. Something has changed in my son after prayer had been offered for him. So he went through the test again, got the results back. You know what he wrote down? What happened, what occurred, because people of science have a real serious problem with God, and period, a lot of people, amen, let alone a God who hears and answers prayer. And so he wrote down spontaneous remission. That's a good medical term. It was there. It's not there. So it spontaneously up and left. Let me tell you something about leukemia. It doesn't up and leave. It finishes its dirty work. And it would have, hadn't God not intervened. Now let's don't make miracles something they're not. Let's get it simplified. If God does anything at all in answer to prayer, it's a miracle. The most simple, you can take several dictionaries, but it'll all boil down to this. A supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. If you're going to pray for America and God's going to do anything about the needs of America, it's going to take a miracle for that to occur. When someone says the days of miracles are over, then the days of praying expecting God to do anything equally over. Can you say amen? I'm glad Jesus is the same. I'm glad we could have an expectation from him. I'm glad that he encourages us to call upon him. Amen. Hallelujah. From that day, I began to heal completely. The jaundice left. My liver levels become normal. They couldn't find cancer anywhere in my blood. I had no chemotherapy. I had no bone marrow transplant. All those are good and helpful to some people. But in my case, God just did it. He just took care of it. Hallelujah. So it's you can't debate this with me. Amen. I am a miracle. And I think of you when she was in Sunday school class, and her mother is her Sunday school teacher at that time. And she, by the way, she only knew me as Hallelujah. I say Hallelujah so often. They had a videotape of our service, and she saw me preaching on the videotape, and she said, how old were you, about 4 or 5? 4. And she said, Hallelujah. That's Hallelujah right there. That's not Brother Venable. That's not Pastor Venable. That's Hallelujah. I like that. I like saying Hallelujah so much. You're known as Hallelujah. In fact, I want to be a Hallelujah from head to foot. Praise God. Amen. I want to be praising God. I don't know about you. Some people say, it's good to see you. And I always say it's good to be seen, because I know where God's brought me from. Not only that, I had a stroke when I was 65. Amen. And you guys, some of you guys, Amen. You're not great evangelists, great pastors, great healing, you know, but you guys came to pray for me. Amen. In the hospital. 2.5 days. Second half, they had a purple, and it wasn't because of Barney either. Amen. They had a purple band on me because I wasn't supposed to go to the bathroom by myself without calling a nurse because they prayed I'd fall and hurt myself because of the effects of the stroke, and thereby, you know, hospital be liable. You know how that goes. And so I had my purple band, and they came to pray for me. I remember Brother Taylor was there praying with me, and some of the guys and the rest of you people that didn't come to the hospital, you were all praying. I'm so glad I taught you how to pray. Amen. I'm so glad I encouraged you to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm a benefactor of that kind of praying. I'm glad somebody called my name before the Lord. I met with 3 pastors. I was supposed to meet with 3 other pastors. I've been meeting with them for 15 years now. The 4 of us, we pray for one another. We pray for needs. Amen. Hallelujah. My wife called everybody at church. Then she called those 3 preachers at a restaurant waiting for me. And they went to prayer for me. And I thought, glory to God. Amen. So there I lay. And on the first half of the 3rd day, I remember, amen, feeling so good. And the nurse come in and said, listen, we've run every test we can. We don't see anything wrong. How do you feel? I said, I feel great. I feel wonderful. People have prayed for me. I'm feeling fine. Amen. They held a mirror, said, look at your face. And I thought, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. They wanted me to tell them if part of it was saggy somewhere, the result, the after effect of the kind of stroke that I had. And it wasn't. And they came time for me to leave. Normally, they bring, I don't care how big and bold and strong you are, they don't want you to fall down and conk your noggin on the way out, and they get sued for it. So they want to take you out in a wheelchair. And they came to get me. And the nurse looked at me, and she knew my record. She knew what had happened in the record. And she said, you don't need no wheelchair, do you? And I said, no, ma'am, I don't. I said, God has done something so wonderful and special by his grace for me. And she said, come on. And so she left the wheelchair. We walked to the elevator. On the way down, she said, I deal with these things all the time. She said, do you understand that you are a miracle? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. And I understand this too. I know who did it. Amen. I know that God has come through for me because people prayed for me. People prayed for me. It wasn't a Pentecostal. I think it was probably A.W. Tozer. He wasn't Pentecostal, but he said something that I want to leave with you this morning. He said, the church of Jesus Christ in general, the body of believers, of Christians, is weak and anemic because she lives below her privilege of power. She lives below her privilege of power. Remember what the Apostle Paul said when I was with you? Amen. In 1 Corinthians, when I was with you in weakness and fear, the fear of the Lord, the reverence for the Lord, and much trembling. And my preaching and my teaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Can you say amen? You get your faith in the person of Jesus Christ and get your faith in the power of God. It won't just be, you won't just get a biblical lesson. I've heard people say, oh, if you hear that preacher, that teacher, you'll know more when you live. Know more about what? If you don't know more about God, you're not going to tap into that power. He said in Jeremiah, God said in Jeremiah 3:15, I'll give you pastors. one and only time I believe you can find pastor in the scripture. And it does mean that we are shepherds over God's sheep. I'll give you pastors after my own heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's not general knowledge of everything in the Bible. It's specific knowledge to bring this kind of faith and hope and power. Amen. It's specific. The Bible said, let not the rich man glory in his riches or boast in his riches. Let not the mighty man glory in his strength. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. And this word glory is to boast. But he that boasteth, he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God. That he knows and understands me. Scripture goes on to say, they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Praise God. Amen. How many have ever celebrated Easter and you've seen a picture of an empty tomb? You somewhere, or some, you know, because the tomb is empty. But did you know that didn't convince anybody in Jesus' day? In fact, they hatched a lie, because they put a stone in front of it that took several men to roll it in front of it. Then they posted guards. They must have been afraid of something. I don't know what they were afraid of. They didn't believe that he could raise from the dead. And so they posted two guards to make sure he didn't get out, and nobody got in to take him out. And on the third day, somebody rolled that stone away. And somebody caused those two guards to about lose their mind. Amen. They came to anoint his body. The women did. And sitting upon a stone, there was an angel. He said, I know who you're seeking. You're seeking Jesus. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Can you say, man, he's not here. He's risen just like he said. Praise God. Hallelujah. And they were so upset that he was gone. There's no explanation for it. So the lie they hatched up according to the scripture, because they couldn't handle it, this is what they said. They said, listen, some of his disciples came by night, rolled away the stone, overwhelmed and overcome the guards, these Roman soldiers, and took his body and hid it somewhere. So God wasn't going to have it, and he didn't have it. Amen. The disciples were going into the temple, and there's a guy begging. He's begging because he knows Christians are generous and they love people. So he's in a good spot to get some help. Peter and John, they're going into the temple. Peter stops and look at him. And the Bible said he was lame from his mother's womb. Everybody knew he could not walk. So he's holding his cup out. And this must have really disappointed him. Because Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none. Now that's disappointing to a man begging to get something to eat. But such as I have, now his expectation is coming back up. They got something to offer me. I don't know what it is yet, but there's hope now where there was no hope before. Such as I have, I give thee. And Peter taking him by the hand, and lifting him up at the same time, said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Not only did he rise up and walk, he was so overjoyed, he ran into the temple. Running, leaping, and praising God. That's a Pentecostal thing, by the way. Running, leaping, and praising God. We didn't start that, just for your information. It was a miracle that God did in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Brother Wimble, why don't you just calm down now? You're in your twilight years. You're probably considering retirement. You probably got a cushion for your rocking chair. Amen. You're probably, you know, look how old you are. Why don't you just teach for 15 minutes and go sit in your rocking chair? It's because God has done something so wonderful in my life. I cannot keep it to myself. I want everybody to know how great He is. I want everybody to know how good He is. I want everybody to know that this is not just getting religion or even practicing religion, even a right religion. This is a real, genuine, authentic, personal relationship with God. Because of the blood of Jesus that has reconciled us unto Him. And when we pray as believers, we don't pray to the force. We got any Star Wars. I'm getting fist bumps this morning instead of amens. I have trouble soliciting amens. I don't have any problem with fist bumps. Star Wars. Amen. Princess Leia herself come to the service. Anybody saw Star Wars? Hey, of course. I don't have enough fists to bump. But what is it? There's the force. The force be with you. This, evidently there's light and darkness and there's the dark side, and when you go wicked and evil, you get over on the dark side. It's always a conflict, isn't it, between light and darkness. Ah, but when light and darkness conflicts, and God is the light and the devil is the fallen angel of darkness, the prince of darkness, there's no contest. Jesus said when that war took place in heaven, when the devil rose up in rebellion, He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall. Amen. I beheld it. The fight wasn't a give and take, and it's not a give and take now. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is risen from the dead. I am alive today because of a resurrected Christ who was able to help me and not just sympathize with me. Hallelujah. God is so good today. Third day I walked out of that hospital. They expected I might need speech therapy. I probably do, but it's not because of a stroke. Can you say, it's because I'm from Kentucky, and every now and then the Kentucky comes out. Hallelujah. God is good today, and He's good to His people. And we should have a spirit of expectation when we come together, because He said, when two or more of you come together, there am I. This brother I worked with, he was a deacon in the church. He wasn't the preacher, the pastor. But he had read something. He'd read about Jairus' daughter. And Jesus went in the room and He saw her laying there dead. Somebody say, how dead? Graveyard dead. Amen. She was dead. Dead as a doornail. Lifeless. And so what He said next shook them. He said, she only sleepeth. In other words, I've got power over death. I will not accept the finality of death. I'm the resurrection and the life. She's only sleeping. I can raise her. What? What? And they laughed Him to scorn. And they scoff today at the miraculous. And what's tragic is it's not only the world that scoffs at it and people of science that scoff at it. It's part of the church that scoffs at it. We don't believe in that anymore. Well, do you believe in praying that God will provide enough for the extension on your building? You actually believe if we pray, God will send in the money to help build us a new church? Sure. You know what that's going to take? A supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. And you know what that is? That's a miracle. So you can't pray and believe that God is going to hear an answer if you don't believe in miracles. Does that make any logical sense to you? Does the fact that I'm here today after all these years make any sense to you, that God is real? He's relevant. He's here. He's in our midst today. And once again, hallelujah. Let's get back to hallelujah before we finish. Mom's Sunday school teacher asked, because you were barren, couldn't have any children. I remember when we prayed for you, it was a psalm. He maketh the barren woman to sing and be the joyful mother of children. We just prayed. It's just everyday people, but we got a God that is so wonderful and powerful. Hallelujah. And she was told that, God, you're God blessed so you could be here. Amen. So she said, is anybody here? Know anybody that has received a miracle? And she went, me, at 4 years old. Now I'm going to tell you, if a 4 year old can get it, some of us 40 and 50 year olds ought to grab a hold of it. Can you say amen? You may have a problem with this. Amen. You may have to work it through, but I pray some seeds are being sown today that you will not think of God as some fictitious placebo for you're too weak to deal intellectually with your problems. Cancer has nothing to do with intellect. It's a killer. It's a killer of children. It's a killer of mothers and daddies and brothers and sisters. Jesus said the thief came, the devil, to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you more abundantly. And before you see dollar signs, amen, like many people have distorted that, a man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. You can't buy what God did for me. You can't buy what God does when he answers prayer. There's no billionaire. The richest man on earth is Jeff Bezos. He's a multi-billionaire. But he can't buy a healing when the doctors say there's nothing else we can do. He can get the best treatment. He can get the best doctors. But he can't buy healing with all of his wealth and all of his money. But thank God it's been made free to us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ today, if we will but believe. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I wanted to challenge you with that today. And of course, there's you. Another miracle. Another miracle. As these folks know your testimony about him? Amen. Praise God. 31. They had him pushing up daisies before he was one. Can you say amen? To me, this is irrefutable. We've got the word on it. We've got the manifestation. Let me get this woman out of this hospital, this man. He read that about Jairus' daughter. They laughed him to scorn. Oh, man. He's out of his mind. She's dead. She's dead. What's he talking about? And he said, please, please, just go on outside. Let's get all the unbelief out of the room, all the doubt out of the room, all the people that say, forget about it. God isn't real. Get all of that out of the room. And when they all got out of the room, I said, when they all got out, don't everybody get up and run. I'm not, please stay. You might become a believer before this service is over. He said unto the young lady Tabitha, he called her by name, I say unto you, arise. And she came alive again. Hallelujah. He's the resurrection. He is the life. He was God incarnate, God in flesh. And we serve a good and gracious God today. But the church in general lives below. And some of you here that are here and you know my preaching, my teaching, my background. Amen. You're still going into scripture looking for this thing and you're looking for that thing. And one of these days you're going to need a miracle. And this thing and that thing is not going to help you. You need some faith. You need some hope in your heart. Hallelujah. And you need to look to and lean on a faithful God who is revealed to you through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's a wonderful God. He's a gracious God. He's a good God. He's a listening God. He's a lifting God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so I hope I can infect you with some hope today. Because if we just play in church, if you're just going for the entertainment, if you're just going for the 20-minute sermonette for Christianettes that live in spiritual bassinets, that's all you're going to get. And that'll work fine for you to practice the Christian religion until you have to have God do something. God come through. Amen. And when you need that, you need to hear something that will cause you to be challenged to believe. Challenged to trust God. Challenged to say, I'm going to look at the Scripture differently. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and it's stimulated by testimonies. You look pretty good to me today. In fact, you look real good. You don't look toe up from the flow up. Can you say amen? Now, I'm a lot older, but I saw myself in the mirror before I came to church. I'm looking pretty good for going on 80. Amen. I'm feeling even better. I got more energy than some of you folks sitting in here that are probably 20 or less. Not after I get home now. That's a whole, I didn't say it was going to last very long. When I get home, amen. That's my chair. Get that dog out of my chair. Amen. That's my chair. And I'm going to sit in it. I might even take a nap in it. But I'm going to burn what energy I've got for Jesus right here this morning. And I pray that God will encourage your heart to believe what is necessary to receive. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, they that come to God, that when you have a need, you come to God. You look to God. They that come to God must, it's an imperative as we close, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Can you say amen? You have to believe He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I don't know if you believe He is. That's called an agnostic. It's not a terrible term. Amen. It just means he might be real. He might not be real. Nobody can prove it. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What do you think I am? Who answered that prayer? What do you think he is? Who answered that prayer? What do you think she is? Who answered that prayer? Some distant, vague, nobody can know nothing about. No, someone who has revealed Himself to us through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who said, when you've seen Me, when you really get to know Me by My words and My deeds, you've seen My Father. You'll know exactly what God is like if He were a human being, so that you could grasp something that glorious. So God took on flesh. Jesus was God incarnate, which simply means in flesh. We're getting into Christmas season. You're going to hear the term Emmanuel. You know what it means? God with us. The angel said, call Him Emmanuel. Name Him Jesus, but call Him Emmanuel. A title. Jesus Joshua. Derivative of the Old Testament deliverer of Israel and leader of Israel. Call His name Jesus, Yeshua. But His title is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. And where is He most with us? When we gather together in the name of His Son and our Savior. Can you say amen? There am I. He's here today. He's here to save anybody that's lost. He's here to heal people that need healing. He's here to help people that need help today. And I pray you'll get to know Him enough to trust Him, and that you will call upon Him. Praise God. Because then you get the good and He gets the glory. It's a win-win any way you turn it. Thank you for coming today. Are you glad you came? Hallelujah. Wasn't too hard. Amen. Are you challenged? Just raise your head if you've been challenged in this service to look at things differently. Hallelujah. You don't have to do what I do, but I'll tell you something. You start getting prayers answered, there'll be a joy that nothing else in life can give you. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so gracious and God is so good. As we close today, I'm going to ask a question. We'll have a song, some fellowship before we leave. Is there anyone in this room that doesn't know Christ as your Savior and you feel that He's calling you? He's calling you. I'm making an invitation in His behalf, but He's the only one that can touch your heart and call you to salvation. Is He calling you today? Anyone in the room that needs to receive Christ as your personal Savior? Amen. All right, second question then. Anyone in this room today and you need help from God in your life? There's something that you need His help in your life for. Would you just lift your hand? I'm not going to do anything but pray at the end of this. I need God's help in my life. Here's the good news. God loves to help people in need. He's that kind of a God. And He's that kind of a God. Hallelujah. He's kind and He's good today. Amen. Heavenly Father, You saw these hands. You see these hearts. We're assembled in Your name. I didn't finish. Let me finish and I'll amen this prayer. This dear husband, he said, and he was a precious black man. He said, listen. He said, Rev, I got down on my knees when everybody got out of the room. It's just me and God and my wife. The doctors, they ran every test in the world. Whatever is in her blood is killing her progressively. And there's no diagnosis, no prognosis, except eventually her organs will shut down and she will die. He said, God, I believe You're a healer. I believe You hear and answer prayer. I love my wife. We've been together, he told how many years. And she said, I don't want to lose her now. I know there's a time to go home, but I don't want to lose her now. I believe that You will do something in answer to my cry and my prayer. He said, I was on my knees holding her hand and praying. And then he got this big smile on his face. These things begin to happen. Amen. It'll energize you. Amen. Everybody walking around, dragging around. Amen. When the saints come dragging in. Amen. When the saints come dragging. I hope I'm not in that number. When the saints come dragging in with, amen, low expectations. No expectations. Just going through the religious ritual and routine that we're all used to and accustomed to. Amen. Getting your intellect tickled with some antiquated message that's telling you something about the Hittites and the Jesuits and the Uptites and amen and all the others. But when you need a miracle, you need the presence and power of God, and you need the resurrected Christ. You don't need a dead leader of a religion. Hallelujah. You need a living God. And a listening God. And a lifting God. Hallelujah. He said, all of a sudden, my wife sat up, eyes lucid and wide open. And she said, and she called him by name. She said, are you praying for me? And he said, of course I'm praying for you. She said, well, you can quit praying because I feel just fine. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, friend. You understand what I'm talking? This is not just me. This is not what they call it. This is not an anomaly. This is not an aberration. This is not something outside of anything that we can possibly conceive or perceive. Where prayers are being offered in faith, God is moving in response to faith. Amen. If you think the days of miracles are over, look around. Listen to what people are telling you. We're not lying about this. This is real. This is reality. Hallelujah. And the church would like, God would like His church not to be weak and anemic because we do not walk in and claim our privilege of power. And the reason we don't claim our privilege of power is because of we're not walking in our privilege of prayer. Of prayer. Of prayer. Hallelujah. The prayer of faith. Save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. If they've committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Heretofore, you've asked nothing in my name. You've asked the Father nothing in my name. Ask that you may receive, so that your joy may be quarter tank, half a tank. What? Full? Full? Seriously? That your joy might be what? Full. Amen. That your joy might be full when God comes through. So if this guy's joy was full, I got my wife back. We're going to go on and live out our days because God came through. And it, with a big smile in front of other people because it was on break and they're all listening in. I said, tell it, man. Tell it all. Let people hear it. Let them know our God is real. Our God is great. Our God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, Rev, God, I took my wife home. He said they wouldn't quit running tests because they couldn't believe what had happened. They wanted to find something. Amen. They're going to charge you so much. They got to find something. Can you say, man, when you get the bill? No, they were not doing it. They just couldn't believe that she was okay. Don't turn her loose until we confirm she might die on the way home. We're culpable. They were doing the right thing, but they have a problem with miracles. Christians shouldn't. Hallelujah. Amen. I said Christians shouldn't. Wow. You should come to our church. Oh, you should hear the music. There's a man that plays a piano like Jerry Lee Lewis. Well, isn't that special? I can't wait to get there and hear him play the piano and be entertained on Sunday morning. Oh, you should come to our church. We got a soloist. And she can hit a high note that could crack glasses. Don't wear your glasses to church. We're not talking about those. You know what I'm saying. We can be entertained. You should see our praise team. We have such a good time. Oh, Pastor Venable, you would love it. Seriously? Amen. I'm going to love being entertained by the praise team. Amen. Oh, you should hear our pastor. He's got a PhD in theology. He's got so many degrees, they call him Dr. Fahrenheit. You should come and hear him speak. Amen. You will go away knowing more. More about what? Oh, you'll know more about the history of the Bible. That's good stuff, but that's not God's stuff. Faith comes by hearing about Jesus being the same. Faith comes by hearing about Jesus being raised from the dead. Faith comes by hearing about a good and gracious God who is faithful to his people. Now, having said that, I'll quit ranting and start raving for a little while. No, I'm kidding. It's about time to go home. Once again, was anybody challenged in this room? Do you want some more reality of God in your life? Prayed for your mama before she passed away, by the way. Oh, your mom still, your grandma. It's an old thing. Most of you wouldn't understand. I prayed for your grandma before she passed. Yeah, I know your mama. We prayed for her up here. Prayed for grandma. She said something that I've held on to all of these years. Hold on to what grandmas say. Grandmas say some good stuff. Hallelujah. Because we've always had a small ministry. This is the smallest it's ever been, except for our internet outreach, at which our media minister has so good at. So go online and get some good preaching, teaching from the internet. But she would always say, Pastor Venable, and she'd look at me with that serious look that grandma gets. She'd say, Pastor Venable, little is much when God is in it. Hallelujah. And I never forgot that. Because if we look at the numbers, my legacy is not going to be what a big church we built and all these people that came and all these things. My legacy is going to be the souls that are saved, the people that have been healed and delivered and set free. Praise God. And how many came to Christ under this ministry? What? Okay. You see, my legacy is not stone. It's not steeples. It's not stained glass. My legacy is souls that are going to be in heaven that would have went to hell. Can you say amen? I like that kind of legacy. Praise God. Would you love a mega church? I'd love a multi-mega church. I'd love to preach to 10,000 times 10,000 if I could. But I will do everything I can do with all of my heart. I'm not preaching like a little preacher in a little church this morning. I'm preaching like a camp meeting evangelist. Because that fire is still inside of me. And I want it to get inside of you guys. Every last one of us here today. I'd like to see you have the joy of answered prayer. And have it in such fullness that people would see the hope that brought that joy. And ask you where you got it. And the moment that occurs, you can testify to somebody else about who and what has helped you in your life. God is so good today. Will you stand to your feet?